income credit.
Sparking inspiration and igniting creativity, it's the 6th Annual Rogue Performance Festival. This 8-day festival of over 100 independent performers showcases theater, dance, music, storytelling, comedy, magic, spoken word, visual art, film, and belly dancing, and takes place in 15 different venues located throughout downtown Fresno, as well as the Tower District. That's the Rogue Performance Festival, Thursday, March 1st through Saturday, March 10th, 2007, at a venue near you. For more details or a copy of this year's schedule, log on to www.rogueffestival.com.
Okay, yeah, and you should check out the, I recommend that folks check out the Rogue Festival. It's a really great thing that we have here in Fresno. I went to see the Emma Temayuka play last week, and that was really worthwhile. So there's some really great entertainment folks should check out. But right now we're going to be talking with Manuel Romero, who is with California Central California Legal Services, and he is the Special Projects Coordinator. Welcome to the studio, Manuel.
Thank you, Pam.
And you're going to be telling us about a program where the government's going to give us money, right?
That's right.
Okay, so how exactly does that work?
Well, the government, in their wisdom, realized that throughout their numerous jobs that are low-paying and moderate-wage earnings, and so they want to reward people for working. And so one of the ways to do that is to give people earned income tax credits. And that's based on the their income and children and pretty much those two things. And we want to promote our campaign because we have free programs out there that are web-based that people can access and do their, not only get their earned income tax credit, but do their taxes for free. And so we want to encourage people to contact us about it.
Okay, so the way I understand it, okay, so people who make low wages,
right,
and maybe have a lot of family obligations, they are, if they file for their taxes, right, then they would be able to get money back.
That's correct.
And actually, it's fairly substantial amounts of money.
That's correct.
The
maximum is $4,536, and that's based on a married couple with $38,348 and with two or more children. That's just strictly earned income tax credit. And then if they have other children, they'll get other tax credit as well. If you don't have any children and you earn less than $12,000, you can still get some earned income tax credit up to $412.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's my understanding that that lots and lots of people who are eligible for this program have not historically taken advantage of it. Is that correct?
That's correct. A couple of years ago, the IRS provided us some information that indicated in the whole valley, about $100 million goes unclaimed. In Fresno County alone, in the city of Fresno, $45 million goes unclaimed.
Wow.
We don't know why. We think that maybe if folks are doing their taxes, or if they don't earn a lot, they don't think that they need to. And honestly, they really don't if they don't earn a lot. But what they don't realize is that if they work some and they have children and they fall within certain age parameters, they can get some credit.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, they'll say, okay, I didn't make enough money. I'm not legally required to file, so I'll just shine it on, right?
That's typical. That's a typical answer. That's right.
Right. So then, but what they don't realize is that they could actually be getting a lot of money back.
Yes. For example, we've gotten people coming in using the program. It's called the ICANN e-file program. Mm-hmm. That maybe earned $1,200 for this year. They worked a couple of months, 2 or 3 months, and mm-hmm. and had a couple of children. Didn't realize that they could have gotten that last year. This year they came in and they were able to get not only the credits, but we also allowed them to file back 2 years back.
Wow, so they could filing back for
yes,
2 more years.
That's
we're talking potential thousands and thousands of
dollars. If you really think about it, you could potentially have somebody get up to $12,000.
Gosh, wow.
That could be a good down payment on a
house.
House or help pay for some of that that rent or PG&E. You know, heck, that's incredibly expensive.
So, yeah, well, tell us, you know, like, I know we were chatting before and you were saying that, you know, this is you folks are doing this at Central California Legal Services, and you're getting a lot of people coming in.
That's right. Not only us, but we have numerous nonprofit community-based organizations that are helping us, including this year the Fresno County has helped us with a little funding so some of the agencies could stay together and promote this program.
Mm-hmm.
All folks need to do is come by and bring their W-2s and their information, and we help them. What we want them to do, though, is if they are able to use the computers, to use the program, do it themselves, we oversee them, make sure that everything's correct. What we want the reason for that is we want them to empower themselves so that if they do it themselves, they can go back and help their mom, their dad, their sisters, brothers, and it's working. And that's when we really get a great result.
Okay, so how do people plug into this?
Well, they can go to our website, www.centralcallegal.org, and there's a guy holding money, and they click on the picture, and it starts. And it's a self-help program, and it has instructions in it. Or they can come to our office at 1999 Tuolumne Street, Suite 700, right at the end of Fulton Mall, across the street from Long's Drugs, 7th floor at the Trade Center, and just walk in and say they want to do their taxes, and we have staff there that can help them. Reality is many of our clients do not have computers, can't access, don't know how to read, or just don't know how to manipulate a computer.
So if someone has a computer and they don't know English, can they get on the computer? Is it in Spanish?
That's correct. Right now the program is in bilingual Spanish and English only. And yes, they can use it, and it does work. Not only does it to the earned income credit, which is a federal filing, the 1040s, but it also does the state all at once. And from that program, for free, they can send it e-file, which means that they can send it electronically and get their money back quicker. And traditionally, we put it in the mail, and it takes 4 to 6 weeks. The great thing about doing that is that they get their money quicker, and also we want folks to use that so that if they go to a tax preparer, we want them to avoid those high interest loans they call the RALs, the rapid anticipation.
Right. I think I wanted to talk about that. We've seen, like, driving around town, you'll see these people dressed up like the Statue of Liberty,
right.
Kind of like green crown on their head,
yes.
And you know, a little sign that they're wiggling back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, what's that about?
Well, that's they're there to make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
They're there at each corner. You'll find them in a couple of large corners. They're pointing you to their office, and certainly, you know, folks have a right to choose where they want to go to do their business. But we want to encourage the community to access our program for free. We believe that the most.
So, what kind of chunk do these? Do these operations take out of your check?
It depends. They get a percentage. We've seen National Defense Law, Consumer Law Center, state in one of their reports up to 1,800% of the return that they charge. That's an incredible amount of percentage. Up to 200% of what they're getting back. So they'll charge. I just saw a recent one that. Paid $280 for a return, and they got their. Well, what happens is they get a loan and they get the check there. But if that, for example, there's a tax controversy and the money doesn't come in, then it becomes a debt for that consumer, and many consumers aren't being told. And as a result, the state attorney general sued some of those for-profit tax preparers because of that, for predatory lending practices. We as Legal Aid want to encourage people to avoid those.
Okay. And we're talking to Manuel Romero. He's with the Central California Legal Services, and he's talking about a program that's being run through California Central Legal Services and many other nonprofit organizations, where you can get your, not only can you get your income tax filed for free, but they will help you, walk you through on how to get earned income credit, which means thousands of dollars that you could get back. And the thing that I wanted you to talk about is, you said there's other organizations in the community that people could also, maybe if people,
that's correct,
you know, if maybe downtown isn't the most convenient place, or maybe they have a language barrier. Can you talk about some of these other places?
Sure. We are in partners with the Volunteer Income Tax Assistors. We have also places like the library, the Clovis Senior Center, the Clovis Public Library, the Fresno County Library. There's some Vita sites for our southeast population.
So does that mean any branch you could go?
Any one of
those branches, right?
The best way to find out where the nearest location is to call the United Way call center, and it's 866-559-4211, and tell them that you're looking for tax assistance, and they will tell you exactly where the nearest location to go. A lot of them are open on Saturdays. Our office is open every day, well, except Saturdays, Saturdays and Sundays, but 8:30 to 5, and then on Thursdays and Fridays till 6 o'clock. Of course, our program is for those that don't have complicated tax issues. If you own a business and if you own property, then you should go to a tax preparer, because that's where you want to do the long forms and get the deductions that you're entitled to. Ours is set up for the simple, which a lot of our community has very simple, non-complicated tax issues.
Okay, so if people could go to California, Central California Legal Services, they could go to any library, and the library presumably could, the research personnel could point them in the right direction.
They can call our 800 numbers, 1-800-501-5317, and we can provide them whatever information or answer any question they may have, and direct them to the right agency as well.
Okay, and this is for folks making up to $50,000.
Our program this year opened up to anybody under $50,000. If they don't own a business or don't own properties, can use this program. And it's great. You can access it through our website, www.centralcallegal.org, and start using it. It doesn't... our only interest is that people use it, and it's in the web. It's free.
$45 million.
$45 million. It's incredible, isn't it?
Right.
Right now, I think we've tapped into a couple of million, which is just a very
tip of the iceberg.
Of the iceberg.
Okay, so folks, get out there, get busy, and get that money that you got coming to you. Right.
And that's money that comes into the economy here.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Manuel Romero, Central California Legal Services, and you know, if you're in one of these income brackets, your boss isn't paying you very much money, hey, this is a great way to help yourself out.
I want to encourage these young college students to do their taxes through this program.
All right. We've got some folks right in the studio. Maybe they could do it.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a brief musical break, and we're going to come back and be talking to Rosanna Spicer and Nick Clark, who have just had a very exciting day yesterday at City College, and they're going to tell us about their fight to bring a little more justice to the world by doing the right thing and encouraging Coca-Cola to do the right thing. So thank you very much, Manuel.
Thank you, Pam.
We'll be right back, so hang in there.
Thoreau 2007 presents The Yellow Rose from Texas, Emma Tanayuka.
I have been here forever underneath the sky.
labor rights organizer and civil rights leader who challenges the power structures of San Antonio, calling for equal pay for equal work during the Great Depression. Writer-director Agustin Lira and producers Patricia Wells Solazaro tells her story through drama, music, and narratives performed by Teatro Inmigrante. Shows are Saturday and Sunday, March 9th and March 10th at 6 p.m. The Big Red Church, the First Congregational Church, 2131 West Van Ness. For more information, contact area code 559-237-3016.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We must guard against the military-industrial complex.
Progressive Thursday presents Why We Fight.
The United States is the greatest force for good in the world. We have not an obligation to go out and start wars, but certainly to spread democracy and freedom throughout the world.
The defense budget is $750 billion. Profits went up last year well over 25%. When war becomes that profitable, you're going to see more of it.
Thursday, March 15th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. Roundtable Pizza, 5763 North 1st Street, southwest corner of 1st and Bullard. Doors open at 6:30, video at 7, discussion 8:30. Hosted by the Fresno County Green Party, free, wheelchair accessible. For more information, contact 559-227-0293.
And the American people are scratching their heads going, how did we get here?
This is not about one president or one party.
When does the United States go from a force for good to a force of imperialism?
Good afternoon. This is Stir It Up. And we're back in the studios in the Tower District. And joining us in the studios is Rosanna Spicer and Nick Clark. And Rosanna is a student at Fresno City College. And Nick is a member of the Sustainable Action, is also a club at Fresno City College. And I know an article in the paper this morning that folks out at City College had a good victory in terms of being able to break the monopoly that Coca-Cola had at the campus, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so why don't you just kind of start a little bit? I know, Rosanna, you're probably the person who really is responsible for this from everything that I hear. Why don't you just tell us a little bit, how did you get interested in Coca-Cola and its relationship to City College?
Well, actually, kind of ironically, the first time I heard about it was in an article at a school newspaper at the high school I went to, Clovis West, and the article was on why we should keep Coca-Cola at our campus despite the allegations. I thought it was ridiculous, and I tried to start kind of a movement at my high school, but being very conservative as it is, and also student apathy, prevented me from actually getting anywhere with that. So I decided to take it to Fresno City College.
Okay. So why don't you talk a little bit about what is the situation with Coca-Cola? Why has a boycott been called, and why did it, you know, why did it hit you in the gut?
Well, I've always been empathetic towards movements dealing with human rights. The allegations, which I don't really like calling them allegations, there's so much evidence that it's beyond just allegations right now. 8 union leaders have been murdered in Colombia, often at the very site of the bottling factories. The franchises there are independent somewhat of Coca-Cola, and that's Coke's main claim to innocence, is that they're simply franchises. But there have been letters written, sometimes by union organizers, sometimes even by employers, to Coca-Cola, saying that they've been threatened by paramilitaries, and Coke has done nothing at all. Mm-hmm. Also, for FEMSA, they own about 95% of the shares. So obviously they do have a strong connection with their franchises. Mm-hmm. And the allegations extend also to many other countries, mostly dealing with pollution of groundwater and soil.
Okay, and so there have been attempts to try to get Coca-Cola to clean up their act.
There have been, yes. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. been strong movements in India where bottling plants have actually been shut down based on public demand. But they're not making any effective steps to clean up their act.
Okay. Okay. And in Colombia, there's been, you said, a number of trade unionists that have been murdered.
Correct.
And obviously, this is something that most employers don't want unions, so it's something that they profit from when there's that kind of thing going on. So, yeah, and this boycott's been going on for quite a while, right?
Yes.
Okay. So how was it, I mean, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, how was it that Coca-Cola had an exclusive monopoly that you could only drink Coca-Cola on the Fresno City campus?
Well, we've had an exclusive monopoly, I think, for a long time. For Coca-Cola, it's been about the past 5 years. And they've just offered us a lot of money, $150,000 spread among all the campuses. And it just seemed more profitable. No one was complaining about it, so they got away with it.
So they were basically buying a monopoly position.
Yes. Right.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So, Nick, you were also involved in this. What was your role in it, and what got you interested in this issue?
Initially, I thought that I was just going to be like purely a supporter of Rosanna's awesome movement that she brought to our campus, and then some of the principles I noticed became so appealing to me that I felt like I had to do a lot more. I dedicated a lot of my time to organizing the campaign in such a way that it could be something easy for other students with really busy schedules to get active. We did things like organize petitions. Rosanna set up presentations in different classrooms with different divisions, conducted surveys to find out what was going on in the students' minds about this issue, publicizing it and making it an issue for everybody on campus was basically the role of the club. Sustainable action that you know officially supported the movement on campus, and I think the hardest part about it was adapting it so that it sounded appealing to everybody and turning it into an issue about a freedom of choice in what people are allowed to buy and sell on campus. Was a lot more appealing and an easier pill to swallow than banning it Coca-Cola altogether.
Mm-hmm. So, Rosanna, why don't you talk a little bit about what was the process? What were the steps that you had to take to arrive at this point?
Oh, wow. There are a lot of steps. The first thing I did, though, was appeal to the Board of Trustees. In open forum, I told them about the issue. They were actually going to renew the contract that day. And I came in and I said, there's no way I want Coca-Cola on my campus. I want another vendor. And so they decided to table the issue until they had more research done. Then we then we took it to the students. I spoke in different classrooms. We had free non-Coke drink days where we handed out about 200 drinks to students and gave them a lot of information. I appealed to all the clubs. We had a petition set up. We got a pretty good number of signatures there. Mostly, and we also asked some professors for help, so a lot of help from Paul Gilmore and Jerry Bill. And there are other teachers, Bernard Navarro, and some others too. So mostly it was a student/faculty movement. And we just continued going to the board meetings until eventually.
How many board meetings did you go to?
I probably went to 4 altogether. Mm-hmm. There was only one when Coca-Cola representatives actually came out, one from Atlanta even, to try to defend themselves, and actually did a pretty poor job. We constructed a letter to the Board of Trustees shortly after and gave it to them. And then this last meeting, they weren't even there, and they had no comment. And so it was, I think...
Well, why don't you describe the meeting? There was a vote yesterday, right?
Yes.
Why don't you describe what happened there?
Well, we gathered about 40 students to meet at the free speech area, and we marched to the boardroom. It was packed. There were students standing outside. It was a great show of support. And we told the board, we said, you asked for support and interest, and we brought you students. Then they said, okay. There was some discussion, some hesitance by a few of the members. But overall, they were happy and glad that the students actually cared about an issue. And the vote was 5-2 in favor of us.
Wow, wow. And did you guys turn in petitions to the Board of Trustees also, or?
Yes, mm-hmm. We got 434 signatures in a span of 2 days, actually.
Wow. So how did you feel that, what was the response among the students? How did people feel about this issue?
Well, during petitioning the students to ask the board not to sign an exclusive rights contract is I think when we were able to become more personal with each person about their opinions. Not surprisingly, a lot of students were unaware of the issue, and if they were aware that it was an issue on campus, they were either uninformed or misinformed about it. And I think the most interesting part about all that was that we started to realize that all of these students have an opinion, and each and every one of them was valid, and the deeper we got into the issue with them, the more we were able to see the potential for like a really active movement, and we started to learn that these students aren't apathetic. They're very willing to mobilize their ideas and their power, and they just needed someone or something to focus it for them. So.
Okay, great. We only have a couple more minutes left. So I'd just kind of like to ask maybe each of you, you know, give a minute of, you know, kind of, I know I read the paper like, I don't know, 2 days ago or whatever. I didn't get a chance because I had to leave really early this morning to read what exactly it said. But, you know, when I read the article a couple days ago, you know, the front page article, the Coke can, and you know, on and on and on about how, just speaking to your point, how students are so apathetic, and, you know, you're not bombing computer systems, so I guess you're not, you don't care, right? You know, it's kind of like a ridiculous article, of course, but, you know, saying that students are apathetic and then not talking about what the issue was with Coke at all. I mean, just maybe 1 minute each.
I didn't get a chance to read the article in the Fresno Bee today. I believe there was one. I was thoroughly turned off by their style of reporting the issue, while reporting the last.
Right.
Or giving
okay.
The last.
Okay, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds.
Well, I saw it actually as a kind of a challenge, which I was glad to accept. We mobilized a lot of students to actually come to the march. I mean, these students had other things to do, and they took time out of the other day to support us. And we're going to continue working with other projects And hopefully the reporters will change their mind about how students feel about issues like this.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and you know, really very impressed with your accomplishments. We've been talking to Rosanna Spicer and Nick Clark, both students at Fresno City College, who won a victory in front of the Fresno City College Board of Trustees last night to end the monopoly of Coca-Cola at that campus. So you've been listening to Stir It Up, KFCF Fresno, 88.1, and Mike Rhodes is on the control. This is Pam Whalen. We're going to take you back now to KPFA.
Get up, stand up for you.